Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Let me ask you a question. What is the Christian's role in politics? You know, just yesterday we had Rand Paul announce that he was going to be running for president. There's quite a few on the GOP side that are anticipated to run for president. A couple have announced thus far. I was looking on Sermon Audio's page. They had a news item there about five things related to the faith of Rand Paul that you may not know about the faith of Rand Paul. And so it was articulating there a couple of statements that he had made and what he believes and so forth. And I was wondering then, you know, about this whole concept of the Christian and politics. A lot of times when a person announces now that they're running for president, one of the groups of people that they try to reach out to are evangelicals. They try to talk about Christian things in order to make themselves more palatable to the evangelical audience. A lot of evangelicals wonder, hey, can we only vote for a Christian for office and so forth? And how do we deal with all these different things, these different questions? All of that seems to center around the subject of the Christian's role in politics. And so I wanted to get Dr. Greg Frazier back on the program today in order to talk about these issues. The last time that Dr. Frazier was on the program, we spoke about the faith of our founders, specifically looking at whether or not Americans' founding fathers were Christian in the evangelical sense of that word. And basically, the conclusion from their own statements was that many of them were not. On this edition of the Knowing the Truth program, I want to look at this other issue, though, now about the Christian's role in politics. Dr. Frazier is the author of The Religious Beliefs of Americans' Founders. He's also a professor of history and political studies at the Master's College. Dr. Frazier, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Frazier, I was wondering if we could get you to articulate that and what you teach to your students. I gave a little bit of an introduction there, but I think that Christians are unsure exactly what our role should be in politics. It seems oftentimes so dirty of a segment of our society. What do you tell your students?
Well, obviously, I believe that political involvement for the believer is perfectly proper, or I wouldn't teach what I teach. And you're right that the evangelical community for many years considered involvement in politics, even voting, to be something dirty and something that evangelicals should not participate in up until around 1976. That was, I would say, the majority position in the evangelical community, and then there was sort of a major shift and sort of lurching back the other way to the point where many evangelicals believe that it's a biblical duty to participate in politics. And I would take a middle position between those two. I don't think that that politics is inherently a dirty occupation or avocation something just that people want to participate in. And I don't think it's mandated that we participate in politics either. But I think political involvement is perfectly proper. I mean, in a biblical sense, you can see the examples of Daniel and Joseph, for example, who held high governmental positions. And so as an occupation, I think it's fine. As an avocation, I think it's fine if you're just interested and you want to participate. But the key is, I think there's two or three important keys. One is that we need to develop a biblical view of politics, a biblical approach to politics. In other words, unlike what so many do, I think we need to go to the Bible first to determine our biblical positions and then hold the culture and hold both political parties accountable to that. And secondly, I think we need to lower our expectations from government. We need to realize that government was created by fallen men. It's run by fallen, largely unredeemed men. There's satanic influence in government as there is in everything else in society. And so I think we need to not expect too much from government. And then thirdly, ultimately, the bottom line is, where do you put your trust? Is your trust in political institutions? Is your trust in political leaders? Or is your trust ultimately in God? And I think those are the important elements.
Well, let's flesh that out a little bit with a couple of questions that come up then with people. For instance, right away, when Rand Paul announced yesterday, a couple of questions I would ask you with Rand Paul. One, people immediately start pouring over what he has said concerning about his own personal beliefs, whether or not he's a Christian. Let's just get right to the core issue there. Is it necessary? Should a Christian only vote for a presidential candidate who says that he is a believer?
I don't think so. For the same reason that if my plumbing is broken, I don't say, okay, I can only hire a Christian plumber, or I'll just hire some random Christian, whether he's good at plumbing or not, to fix my plumbing. Politics is an occupation. It's a job. It's also can be a ministry in a sense, but fundamentally it's an occupation, and some people are good at it and some people aren't. And I think it's better to have someone in office who is good at it, who knows what they're doing, and has a real handle on problems and solutions, as opposed to just someone who's a Christian who may not be as good at it. Like I say, if you were picking a plumber or you're picking a carpenter or someone to fix your car or any other thing that you want done, you want someone who knows what they're doing, regardless of whether they're a Christian. Now, if you can mix the two and have someone who is good at politics, good at the various whatever position they're running for, who also happens to be a Christian, then that's wonderful. Although, again, just the fact that they are a Christian doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to do a better job than somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some non-negotiables. But you don't have to be a Christian to adhere to those non-negotiables.
Mm-hmm. In the illustration of the plumber, the plumbing, though, the pipe part of it anyways, hooking the pipes together, would be amoral. Is there, in government, there seems to be a moral aspect to it, you know, because you're, for instance, things like legalizing abortion and these types of things. So there's seems to be a strong moral component to it. Does the fact that there is that strong moral component to it, does that advocate then that we want a person who is a believer so that those strong moral components will fit with what we find to be true in the scriptures?
Yeah, there you're getting at what I was referring to when I said there are certain non-negotiables, and there is certainly a moral element, and so it's important to have someone who holds proper morals. I'm not sure that, again, a person has to be a Christian to have a proper view concerning abortion. Now, when you said, do we have to vote for a Christian, I would argue no. However, personally, I will not vote for someone for any significant office who is not pro-life.
Amen.
So the issue there to me is beyond mere politics. It's a life and death issue. And so for president or for Congress or any significant position that can influence that issue, I will not vote for anyone who is not pro-life. But you don't have to be a Christian to be pro-life. And not all Christians are pro-life. And so there are a lot of moral questions, but just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean necessarily that they have the proper view on that moral question. They may be uninformed, or they may not have considered what the Bible has to say, etc. So it's important to have someone who has their moral ducks in a row, so to speak, who has the right moral positions. I just don't think that that necessitates them being a Christian. There are, for example, and I know this is controversial, but there are a lot of Mormons who hold a lot of proper moral views.
Mm-hmm.
Say Mitt Romney, for example. A lot of people in the evangelical community refused to vote for Mitt Romney, which is one of the reasons he lost, because he was Mormon. But Mormons hold the same moral views in general that the Christian community does. So from just looking at politics and a moral perspective, I don't think that one needs to be a Christian in order to hold the proper moral views.
Just a comment on your statement there of not voting for someone who's not pro-life. I wholeheartedly agree. I think that it is an automatic disqualification. When a person is faced with the issue of a crisis pregnancy and their solution to that that problem is a let's take the life of the child, to me, that type of person that would come to a conclusion like that, to me, is just disqualified from holding the office. So I do the exact same thing. I don't care how competent they are in all the other areas. If they make that decision about the most fundamental of rights, you know, the right to life, then that tells me that they're not competent to make these other decisions. I can't trust them to make those other decisions. So I completely agree. When we talk about, we started by talking about the role of Christians in politics. But you mentioned that the second point that you pointed out there, not to expect too much, to back up just a tad and talk about the role of government then. If our expectation is important, then I want to see what we, you know, what should we expect from government?
Well, that's a huge issue. But I'll just give you sort of some nuts and bolts of my perspective. Fundamentally, I think that the framers of the American Constitution did a really good job of laying out what we should expect from government. Unfortunately, over the last, well, in particular, the last 100 years, the country has veered significantly from that. But we should expect certain fundamental things that government should provide. The government should provide security and protection, for example. That's really more or less the fundamental purpose of government. Biblically, the purpose of government is to restrain evil.
Mm.
That's why God instituted government, to restrain evil after the flood. When God destroyed mankind because of his evil, and then in the Noahic covenant, God institutes civil government and promises then that he will never again bring a flood to wipe out man. And the reason that he can make that, well, he can make the promise because he's God. But, I mean, the reason that the promise stands up is because he institutes civil government to be a continual, ongoing, perpetual restraint on man's evil so that man's evil doesn't reach the level at which God would have to wipe man out again until, of course, the end times.
Mm.
And so, so government is fundamentally designed to be a restraint on evil. And of course, in the sort of quintessential chapter in the New Testament concerning government, Romans 13, that's exactly what Paul lays out there, is that government's role is to restrain evil. And so fundamentally, that's the fundamental purpose of government. And anything else that government does is sort of an added thing, and that's not to say that government can't do other things. It's not to say that government can't, for example, provide water or electricity or roads or those kinds of things, but those are ancillary things. Those are additional things to the fundamental purpose of government, which is to restrain evil.
Mm.
And I would argue that the farther that government gets from its God-given purpose, the less effective it will be, and the more problems will result. And so one of the reasons I think that we have a lot of problems today is because the government is doing a lot of things that it wasn't designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, if you take any tool and you try to use it for something, if you take a hammer, which was made to drive a nail, and you try to use it to clean out your ears, it's not going to be very effective. And so,
very painful.
Whatever, things are made for a particular purpose, the farther you get from that purpose, yeah, the less effective they're going to be.
Good point. Excellent point. Let me remind our listening audience that we're speaking with Dr. Greg Fraser. He is the author of the book, The Religious Beliefs of American Founders. He's also a professor of history and political studies at the Masters College. Masters College website is www.masters.edu. You can go out there to check out all of the great offerings that they have out there for students. I want to ask you about libertarianism then, especially in light of what you just outlined there as some of the very basic elements of government, especially with Rand Paul announcing yesterday. But before we do that, let's run to the phone line and take a quick question here. We've got Greg up on line two, I think. Greg, you with us?
Yes, Pastor Bowen.
Hey, Greg.
My question, good afternoon or good morning. My question is with regard to religious freedoms. Mm. I'd like to hear you and your guest to comment on the despair and just the lack of confidence I have in our political leaders to uphold our religious freedoms.
Mm,
we're seeing recently that those who are strong leaders in the Republican Party, who we have long time supported, are buckling under pressure and demonstrating a complete inability to demonstrate arguments in support of religious freedom in light of the hostility towards it. And so I wanted your guest and yourself to comment on that.
So if I put it in a form of a question, what is the government's role in upholding religious freedom? Would that work?
Well, I think we know what the role is, but how do we respond to the government's failure to do so, especially among our leaders?
Okay, great. You want to take it offline, Greg?
That's fine.
Okay,
yeah,
so
sure.
So you can hear the answer.
Well, the question by the caller there points up one of the points I was making earlier as far as lowering our expectations from government, which is governments are run by fallen human beings. They're run by flawed people. And so when he mentions that certain leaders have backed down and not held firm on principles and so forth, that's what human beings do. And so that's why we can't expect too much from government, and we need to go into looking at politics with a realistic point of view and recognize that we're going to be disappointed probably more often than not. But in terms of religious freedom, one of the points that I actually make in my book, and both sides on the question of the religious beliefs of the founders go back to the founders to support their view, and the secular left, with the wall of separation notion that the Supreme Court introduced in the 1940s, they have a particular perspective that I would argue, and I do in the end of my book, has actually significantly reduced religious freedom in America, because they have continually whittled away with that notion at religious freedom. And so that's why we have reached the point where we are today. It's been a gradual process that's really accelerated, I would argue, in the last 5 years or so. And so what can we do about it? We can elect people who care about religious freedom. We can elect people who emphasize religious freedom, who aren't afraid to emphasize religious freedom, even though they're going to be persecuted. And I should also point out that it shouldn't be a surprise that our religious freedom is in jeopardy and that Christians are being assaulted and so forth. If I remember correctly, Jesus warned us that this would happen, that the world would hate us. And so I think Christians have been kind of spoiled by a couple hundred years of comfort in believing what we want and then in expressing those beliefs. And unlike other countries that have suffered persecution, Christians have suffered persecutions for years, and now it's starting to come to us. And so we'll see if we're up to it. But we have the opportunity to elect people to office who can make a change. And so that's an important thing to consider when you go to the polls.
We had left off in our discussion about the role of government. You had talked about to protect and then to restrain evil. It made me think of the libertarian viewpoint. when we talk about restraining evil, you know, we might say that things like prostitution and drugs and these types of things then should be part of that government role in restraining evil in our communities and in society as a whole. But the libertarian viewpoint of these things is much more, you know, that people have much more liberty and the government doesn't have any role in those types of moral issues. Just your thoughts. I know it's a big subject as well, but your thoughts on the libertarian view, is that in keeping with the Christian view that's articulated in the Word of God?
Well, I think to a point it is. I think the problem with libertarianism is the extremism of it. I share many ideas with the libertarian perspective in the sense of emphasizing the Constitution, emphasizing rights, emphasizing freedom, or liberty, as the libertarian name comes from. Those are certainly very important things and critically important in our country, which I would argue again that we have moved a long ways away from the Constitution to the point where we routinely violate or ignore or circumvent the Constitution and have not much respect for it in many cases, and that's dangerous. But there's a certain extremism, I think, that comes with it. I think that there's extremism on one side and extremism on the other side, and I would argue that we should land somewhere in the middle. Because government is instituted to restrain evil, I don't think, as a libertarian would argue, I don't agree with the idea that the least government is best. I don't believe that government is a lesser evil. It's not an evil of any kind. Paul says in Romans 13, it's a minister of God to you for good. Government is not a lesser evil. It's a minister of God for good. It is part of God's common grace to mankind, to allow us to live in society. And so to the extent that people think of government as an evil and that we have to have as little of it as possible, I disagree. I think we should have less than we do.
Mm-hmm.
My students can certainly tell you that I rail about that all the time, that we have way too much government. Mm-hmm. But I don't agree with sort of the opposite extreme that we should have as little government as possible.
Hmm. You talk about that too much government. I'll interject here a very quick story. My daughter's a photographer, and around Easter time for a number of years, she would use bunnies, you know, so the kids would get their picture taken with bunnies. And so she got a call one day from Columbia, the state capital, and said, you know, do you do bunnies in your photographs? And she said, yes. Would you like to set up a session? And they said, no, we're actually from the government here, and it's illegal for you to, without a permit, to use bunnies in the photographs. And so she was like, you're kidding me, right? And they said, no, you can use chickens. Chickens were okay, but bunnies were on the list there. And so you couldn't use the bunnies. So they said, so she said, well, how much is the fine? Maybe I'll just take the fine rather than, you know, fooling around with trying to comply with us. And so they told her whatever the fine was. I can't remember the dollar value, but she said, well, okay, well, send me the information. And then a document came, and the document was something like, don't quote me on it, but something like 110 pages or something of this document.
Sure.
Where the bunnies were going to be kept and what they was going to happen with afterwards. The woman came from Columbia, so it's 100 miles from Greenville. She came from Columbia she had to inspect the site where the bunnies were going to be kept, which happened to be my daughter's home. So they came there to, you know, as a home visit to look at what was going on. And then I told her, just tell her you're going to eat the bunnies when you're done with them, you know, whatever. So, this thing, talk about out of control and into every little nuance of people's lives. There's just an egregious example of it. And we can see that there, you know, a lot of that stuff has to stop, right?
Yeah, there's, you know, actually the federal government has a 15-page booklet of regulations concerning the size of holes in Swiss cheese. And you can just go on and on
yeah.
and on. There was a couple of years ago, the government passed a 40-page triple column 40-page booklet controlling to make sure that magicians who use bunnies in children's performances, that they have emergency procedures set up for those circumstances.
This is
40 pages, triple column.
Yeah.
So, yes, the government is absolutely crazily out of control.
Yes.
And so that's why I say I share, you know, a certain, up to a point, I share certainly with the libertarians a lot of their perspective. I just don't agree with the extremism to which they go.
Well, excellent points. Dr. Fraser, thank you so much for joining us today to give us these points that you laid out. I think the final point there was trusting in the Lord, and obviously at the end of the day, our hope is not in a GOP resurgence. Our hope is in a revival, and the revival of people coming in faith and repentance to our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That'll make the biggest difference. There's no political party that can possibly make the type of difference that a true biblical heaven-sent revival will make in this country. Amen?
Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Fraser, for joining us today. We really appreciate your book, and we appreciate the work you do there at the Master's College.
Thank you.
All right. Again, that was Dr. Greg Fraser. He's the author of Religious Beliefs of America's Founders, and he's also a professor of history and political studies at the Master's College. Check out their website. Their website is www.masters.edu. That's masters.edu. And remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you next time right here on Knowing the Truth.